It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Friday. We're ready to rock and roll. Excited that you could be with us. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. And we're going to start things off fast and furious right away, JoJo. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Let's do that. Let's go down to the beach, Daytona Beach, Florida, as the Daytona 500 will take place coming up this Sunday. And we say hello to Ryan Preece. He is the driver of the number 60 for RFK Racing, getting ready to go in the Great American Race. Ryan, what's going on?
Not too much. Just sitting here watching last night's race over and over again. But man, I'm really excited for the 500 because we have a really fast Ford Mustang.
Yeah, I was watching the duels last night. Now, you were in that first duel and finished 13th, so I guess you'll take that because you survived, because it got a little crazy at times in that first duel. But what did you learn about your race car?
Well, I learned that, you know, if we were able to stay in control, we had a really fast race car. And just unfortunately, learning a lot, you know, being at a different team and the characteristics of it all. There was probably two or three things that I wish I did a little bit different. One was once I got the lead and got track position, not give it up. And the other one was, seemingly it looked like the way the race was playing out in those last five laps. And, you know, everything that I've seen in the past, the middle usually drops to the bottom and you're able to make ground up there. And it just didn't happen in the third lane that seems like kind of like that sucker, not sucker hole, but just like a sucker place to go and you lose spots. It made out. So, you know, I wish I jumped up in front of some of those guys and I think we could have had a real shot at winning it. So, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy we have a really fast race car that's in one piece with no damage. But, boy, am I frustrated because that car is just something really, really to look forward to for Sunday.
Did it, you know, obviously make it more difficult that both your teammates were in the other duel? So, you know, the Fords in general seemed outnumbered in that first duel.
Yeah, it made it really tough. It made it tough because the Chevrolets and the Toyotas had way more numbers in our duel. And, you know, guys are trying to move you the entire time. So when you do get track position, it was really just Josh Berry and I, and two cars against 20 other cars just makes it really tough. So, ultimately, I guess the good takeaways are is like I said, we have a car, we have a BuiltSubmarines.com, Ford Mustang that's in one piece, but also, you know, it's fast. I am just over the moon with how prepared the race car is and with the speed that it has.
Ryan Preece is on the Chase and Big Joe show. And Ryan, my co-host Chase, has all the great NASCAR questions because he loves NASCAR with you. I got a question for you. You went to the same high school with Will Levis, Tennessee Titans quarterback. Did you know that?
I didn't. I actually was in – the only thing I do know is there was another guy that I went to school with. His name was Will Tye. He played for the, I believe it was the Giants.
Yes.
As well as the Patriots at one point. So, he was in quite a few of my classes, but I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I'm looking at your Wikipedia page, which you should always go look at your Wikipedia page to make sure everything's correct. But you also went to the same high school as Jeff Bagwell. So, and you're one of their notable alumni, Ryan. So that might be the best thing you hear today. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's pretty neat. You know, it was Xavier in Middletown, obviously, was really great. It helps you grow up, you know, and at that age, you really think that you got everything figured out. But, boy, they shape you into a man. And, you know, as well as when you're chasing, you know, a dream like I was, I was able to do all the things. Basically, they taught me time management and how to get the job done that you needed to get done, as well as still doing the other things.
I love it. Also, I like to make things about myself, Ryan. You and I, Ryan Preece, share the same birthday.
Wow.
I like that.
Yes.
Look at that. October 25th, man. That's really cool.
It's right. So I would like for you this weekend to win the race for us. Not for you and your family, but for us. Is that okay?
I'm going to make sure if we do that, I'm going to do a big shout-out.
I love it. I want to ask you about the Daytona 500. You know, in all the sports, you know, you have a preseason, you know, exhibition games in football and basketball. How do you get ready for the Daytona 500? Is there a way in December and January you can practice for this race?
No. to be honest with you, I mean, you can yes, you can. I'm joking when I say that. There's a lot of – you like to go back and watch film, and how we can use that to our benefit is really seeing moves that during the race you're baited into doing that make you feel like you're going to make a gain, you know, in track position, and ultimately what it's going to do is hurt you. But also there's really nothing that you can do to prepare for when they drop the green and there's 41 of you guys out there, and it's just – you know, just picture rush hour traffic in New York City going 190 plus miles per hour. And you're just trying to jump from lane to lane to gain track position. And it's, you got to have patience, but you got to be aggressive. So it's kind of like a balance.
Oh, I'm sure it is. And what's it like, you know, we talk about that flag when it drops, when all eyes of the racing world are upon you and the 41 other people. I mean, do you realize the enormity of it, or are you just worried about not hitting the car in front of you?
To be honest with you, I'm just thinking about how do I get myself to the front. That's the only thing. And I feel like as a race car driver, it's like that switch that you just flip on that you aren't really thinking about anything other than trying to win and doing whatever it takes at that point. So I feel like a lot of athletes out there, they, you know, when they get in that mindset, that's all you're thinking about.
We're talking to Ryan Preece. He drives the number 60 for RFK Racing. You mentioned earlier about the new team. I know you have to be excited to work, you know, with guys like Chris and Brad, of course, that since Brad's come over there and has part of the ownership. What's it been like in such a short amount of time to work with those guys?
Well, I'm still figuring or taking in a lot of the information we have, as well as, you know, soaking up all the stuff that Brad, you know, he's very, very detailed, which is nice. And as well as Chris, you know, it's just, to me, it feels like it's going to be a great place because, you know, I feel like all three of us are going to have really fast Ford Mustangs, but as well as we have a plan in place and a plan that I feel really confident we can execute because we're going to work well together. So it makes me excited for Sunday. It makes me excited for the Daytona 500 and the speed we have and really the plan that hopefully we can go execute.
Does it feel like even though you are with a new team, but, you know, last year obviously had to be tough because there was so much uncertainty of your future with Stuart Haas closing and all that stuff. Does it feel like a little bit of a weight has been lifted now that you can just focus on racing?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely feels good to know, you know, week in and week out, we're going to have really fast cars and it, you know, last year with the team shutting down, there was just so many other things that you had to think about to, you know, make sure that you had a job the next year. But as well as, I mean, it was just a lot to think about, you know, and then on top of that, making sure that you're going out there and you're doing everything that you need to do every given Sunday. So, you know, yeah, it's nice. It's nice hitting reset. It's nice being at RFK and, you know, having the support of Kroger and Castrol and every partner that we have. It like you said, just focus on your job, and it's kind of like doing what you did all your life, which was going out there and you know, getting the most out of the race car that day.
We're talking to Ryan Preece on the Chase and Big Joe show here. Ryan, do you have a pregame meal? Are you able to eat a meal before you get in the race car in the morning? How does the nutrition all this work on race day?
You know, I'm not a huge eater on race day, just because I don't want to feel bogged down or, you know, it's really interesting. But what I will say is I love oatmeal, you know, as well as some chicken and a little bit of salad, something light, you know, nothing too crazy.
I was just always curious to see what, you know, what drivers, because you're in that car for so long. And just like, I couldn't go to Crystal then hop in the race car on Daytona 500. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, you definitely I don't typically like to eat fried food, you know, on race day. I'll stay away from that, or even ice cream or anything like that. So
yes,
we'll probably just stick to what we're doing.
Love it.
Ryan Preece is with us, and you know, Joe, Ryan he won the first two Truck Series races at the Nashville Super Speedway.
I saw that.
Came back, and I actually have a funny story. Ryan wouldn't remember this. 2021 was the first year that it came back.
Correct.
Still kind of in the COVID stuff, right? So I'm the PA announcer, Ryan, and we're about to do driver intros. I felt so bad because they had every driver lined up by their car. I'm standing by the stage. I feel somebody walk up behind me. I look over, and there's Ryan, and he goes, "Hey, where do I go?" And I'm like,
"Yeah,
back to your truck," unfortunately. And I felt so bad because he walked all the way over there,
but
then he ended up winning the race. So I guess it worked out.
Yeah, man, I was just I'll tell you what, I love Nashville. I love that racetrack. I love the city, you know, Broadway and everything about it. So I'm eager and excited to get there this year. So maybe I'll run into you again.
Yeah, well, we look forward to it. Looking forward to Sunday. Best of luck, and hopefully you can take that 60 to victory lane. Appreciate the time today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yep, absolutely. Ryan Preece joining us here on the program. He will line up 27th in the Great American Race, the Daytona 500, which is on Sunday, and you can actually hear the Daytona 500 in a couple of different places in our family. The whole race on Totally Hits 93.3 FM starting at 12:30, also on Sports Talk 8:30, and then after Vandy Baseball is done here on 102.5 The Game, you can hear the finish. So if you're out and about,
yeah,
you will have multiple options within the Cromwell family to listen to the race.
I tell you, if he wins on Sunday,
oh yeah,
and then we have the same birthday, and he just gave the shout out, I will be on another level.
Could you
level.
Imagine he's a victory lane? Hey, I just want to shout out Chase and Joe in Nashville.
If some guy asked me if I'm not going to crap in the car on Sunday, but this is for you, man, back in Nashville. All right, that's cool.
We'll also have the Fresh from Florida 250 Trucks race tonight at 6 o'clock on 94.9 The Fan, and the Xfinity Series United Rentals 300 at 3:30 tomorrow on 94.9 The Fan. So we got you covered on NASCAR at Daytona. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Friday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Poor Ralph. Here you go, Ralph.
You choose me?
Happy Valentine's.
One of the greatest Simpsons episodes ever.
Nice song.
Yeah.
Take it, Dr. Crane.
My love.
That's pretty good.
I love you some Lionel Richie.
So good.
Fun fact about that movie, Endless Love, that was Tom Cruise's first movie.
Oh, was it?
With Brooke Shields.
Wow.
He was a very small part in the movie. With all that. Real quick, I just need the floor for 1 second.
You can have it.
Last night, went to this great MTSU event down at Uncle Nearest, the bar down in Shelbyville. Beautiful bar, beautiful place. Great time, packed house, MTSU, big party. Last night, there was a guy there, and I saw him, and I got mad. I shouldn't have got mad, but he's there at this big MTSU event. Huge event. Good time. Chris Massaro, Derek Mason, all the big wigs there. The guy is wearing a Tennessee hat and a Tennessee jacket at this MTSU event. And
Justin Beasley do that?
I get it if you love to, but you're at an MTSU event. Have some self-awareness. I wanted to toss him out of the bar, and I'm being serious. I just, because he was a little smirky, a little kind of old punk. And I just, there was no, you know, he could tell he's proud, like, I'm wearing Tennessee at this MTSU thing. And I'm like, why do you want to do this? It's an MTSU. If it's a Vanderbilt event and you're wearing Tennessee gear, stupid. If it's a Tennessee event, you're wearing Vanderbilt gear, stupid. Just have some self-awareness. And I was so mad at this guy. Then I started thinking about all the people when I was a bouncer that I've thrown out of bars.
Yeah.
and I wanted to throw this guy out of a bar. Have you ever been? And my question is, have you ever been thrown out of a bar, Chase McCabe?
No, I've been asked to leave.
Where were you? I got to know this now.
Okay, and now I have to tell the whole story.
Go ahead.
It was Rebar, which was there in Midtown. Doesn't exist right? anymore.
I know where it is.
And what had happened is they had like a patio area and we were outside or whatever.
Okay.
And I'm not the best when it comes to shots. Like, I don't take them very well. And so we had been out for a while. We took a shot and I immediately had to throw up, and I threw up in a trash can. Oh. And the bouncer was like, yeah, you got to go.
Oh, okay. So, but not
it
something
wasn't bad. No,
you started.
No. It wasn't like a fight or anything. It was, I threw up in a trash.
Oh, Dr. Crane, have you ever been thrown out of a bar?
Indirectly.
Explain.
I was just with a group of friends at a local bar here in the town, and I just was with them. One of the buddies of mine actually had a little too much to drink. I was the DD, so like I was just driving everybody around, being
okay.
the responsible person I am. And
yes, you are.
They ended up getting thrown out. I had to go with them, so. I wasn't intentionally thrown out. I was just with the group.
Yeah, you're guilty by association.
Okay. Right. All right. I mean, as a bouncer, I've thrown many out. I got thrown out of Spinnaker's in Panama City on spring break. I mean, I was drunk and I was a fool and raising hell, and I got punched square in the face by the bouncer, and that's the last punch I've received in the face, and that was 1989, and I vowed never get punched in the face, and I haven't since then. But, I mean, I was a giant jerk. I deserved to be tossed out.
Yeah.
So I was just curious if, you know, and if you want to text in and tell us if you've ever been tossed out of a bar, I'm always love to hear these stories because I wanted to launch this guy out of the bar last night.
Yeah, no, I feel that.
He did nothing wrong to me.
Sure.
But
it was just a dumb thing.
Right.
Like, don't wear, and he knew what he was doing. Like,
he knew what he's doing.
He knew he was going to an MTSU event. It's like, oh, let me put my ball stuff on.
So I trouble with myself. I should have said something to him, but I didn't. I think I'm mature now. But I just like, you know, throw him out. Then I started thinking about all the people, and like me and the coach had thrown so many people out of bars at the Wrangler back in the day at McGavick's place. And I'm just curious if you've ever been thrown out of a bar. I want to ask Ryan Priest that.
Is that
ever
our
been
question?
Thrown out of a bar?
Is that our question?
Oh, it doesn't have to be. I'm just curious out of what happened last night. Never been tossed from a bar.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that's a good way to start it here on this Valentine's Day. I do want to say, and I can't believe this, this individual would have been 52 years old today. Today is his birthday. Would have been his birthday. When I tell you, you're going to go like, wow.
Steve
McNair. The late, great Steve McNair. Today would have been his 52nd birthday.
Wow. Just he was killed in 09.
He was 36 when he died.
Wow.
So, unbelievable. But the Titans tweeted that out, and I was like, man.
52.
I know.
I felt old yesterday when Randy Moss was 48.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I still remember him sitting with Peyton Manning in the Heisman Trophy Awards ceremony in 1997, and now he's 48. That just seems – that guy doesn't seem half that old.
I know. I think I told you this earlier in the week. Like, you know, I'm at that age now where it's like it's hitting me that, you know, the superstars of sports are a lot younger than I am. And, like, guys that I grew up watching are now going in the Hall of Fame. You know, like Randy Moss being 48. When I watched him his rookie year at Vanderbilt Stadium.
Right.
Against the Titans. Like, just like, oh, man.
Can I back up a second?
Sure.
You threw up in a trash can. Now, hold on. That's very cognizant of you.
Oh, yeah.
And they ask you to leave?
Yeah.
And I get it if you'd have puked on the bartender or on people around.
I think that might have happened twice now that I think about. There was another time where I think I threw up in a urinal.
Did you get thrown out for that?
Yeah.
But look, you have the mindset not to create a disaster area.
Yeah. Like, here's
come
the thing.
On.
This is why
bouncers?
This is why I don't take shots. I'll take the shot, and then I immediately get heartburn.
Right.
Like, it just burns.
And yeah.
I mean, it goes back. I mean.
What, Jägermeister?
No, it was.
Goldschlager?
Probably. It was either Fireball or whiskey or it might have been Jack. I think it was Jack.
That'll get you every time, man.
So, I mean, and that was my younger, dumber days.
Well, I mean, we've all been there. But now I got a beef with that bouncer who threw you out. If I'm the manager of the bar and I see.
He was nice about it. He was like, hey, you got to go.
And then I was like, oh, man, you did not want to dirty up my barn. You threw up in the trash can. God bless you.
In fact, I think an hour later we went back. They didn't notice.
They had no idea. Bouncer trying to be cool right there. Yeah. I want a story where somebody's been, like, actually thrown out on their head. And just
my favorite is the Ron White bit where he got tater salad.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's like, I was in a bar in New York City and, like, went through the whole thing and he said, you're being charged for drunk in public. And he goes, no. I was drunk at a bar. They threw me into public.
That's such a great story. Oh, man.
So it's a classic one for sure. There are a lot of great things going on at Bridgestone Arena, and the man that makes it all happen, David Kells, is going to join us. Coming up next, we will talk to David and see what all fun things are coming to Bridgestone. That's all next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Valentine's Day.
You're playing some Chase cry.
Love music. I know, really, you are. We say hello now to our buddy David Kells, who is on the line with us. He is the chief venues officer at Bridgestone Arena and the Nashville Predators, and also, I guess, F&M Bank Arena as well. David, what's going on?
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day to you. So what you're basically booking both places now, right?
Correct. Yeah, there's a team of us. Kylie Wilkerson up in Clarksville helps out. Max and Brittany here at Bridgestone Arena. And we all, you know, answer the phones and put feelers out and lines in the water to try and get great entertainment for everybody in Middle Tennessee.
And you all do a great job. 163 total events, which included 44 Preds games, 119 live shows in 2024. Over 1.8 million fans coming through our doors. Hey, it's not too bad. Doesn't sound like that's too hard of a job to do, but pretty awesome that you all are able to pull that off.
It's a lot of fun, and as I've said to you all before, we're able to do our job because everybody responds to the events that come here. Success wants to follow success. People want to play in front of packed arenas, whether it's on the ice, the basketball court, or on a stage, and when the fans respond, the entertainment and sports industry, you know, follow suit.
The Preds are off right now. That we know the Four Nations tournament's going on. It's been a lot of fun to watch the last couple of nights. So when you find out that the hockey team is going to be gone for, you know, basically 2 weeks, is that immediately everybody looks at you like, all right, what are you going to put in here? You got to book the building now.
Well, we kind of look at it in two fronts. One, yes, we want to maximize the dates that we have at all of our venues. I tell people we're just four walls and some seats unless something cool is happening. So we do take that opportunity because dates are at such a premium with our schedule and all the other big events that we have. So if we have an open time, by all means, that's when we can squeeze in, you know, a back-to-back with Cody Johnson that maybe we couldn't do another time of the year. On the flip side, hey, if there are a couple days of downtime, that lets our operations crew come and, you know, clean and do some bigger maintenance projects to keep the building humming and looking good.
We're talking David Kells. He's the chief venues officer over Bridgestone Arena. All right, David, so when you got a guy who's on tour, say Pitbull, and he wants to come March 7th and you're booked March 7th, what's all the back and forth to get him to come here when there's a conflict with a date they request? Or do they request a date, or do you give them dates?
It's kind of a little bit of everything. There's no cookie-cutter formula on how events are booked, but we have a software program that goes from now until the end of time, essentially, so we can put in those big holds. You know, we know the CMA awards are coming every year. We know the SEC tournament's coming every year. We kind of know the cadence of what our hockey schedule will look like, so we put in those big chunks, and then we see what dates are available. And then on the touring side, I mean, the agents and the promoters, they are trying to make sure that, for your example, Pitbull can get from, you know, Miami to Seattle without having to drive a whole bunch in between. So they make sure that, you know, the arenas and amphitheaters in Florida are good, and then to Georgia, and then to us. So they're juggling puzzle pieces and maps all over the place.
Yeah, when you have an event like, you know, you're trying to get a Pitbull in and people moving around like that, and I just got to think it's a lot of chaos, but in some sort it's got to be organized, right?
Yeah, and at this level, I mean, we really are working with the best of the best. Our crew know what they're doing. They're able to provide amazing service to all the events that are coming in. so they know when an event goes on sale here or an event wants to play here, they know that, oh my gosh, a day at Bridgestone Arena is worth our time. We're going to sell tickets. It's going to be easy on the production side. And then the people that we're dealing with, they are the pros. They are the ones who are out on the road day in and day out making this thing happen. So when they do come to us, we have the confidence in their skills and abilities and to put on a great show.
If Paul McCartney's touring, he's going to like 52 cities and Nashville's not one of them. Do you reach out to them and say, hey, man, what the hell?
Yeah, I mean, not those exact words, but, you know, right. I always raise our hand. We always make our case to why Nashville's and Bridgestone Arena or Clarksville and FNM Bank Arena are worth a stop on your tour. There's only so many dates. You know, people can only play so many shows, and you need to make the case of why it's good on the production side, why it's good on the revenue side. And our sales team, our marketing team, everybody does a great job in helping make those arguments.
David Kells is with us, the chief venues officer with the Nashville Predators and Bridgestone Arena. Have you noticed in all your years of doing this that because Nashville has become such an it city, a tourist city, that it's easier to get events now, or has it really changed much?
Oh, my gosh. And it all goes back to, again, fans buying the tickets. I think I've told you all before, I grew up here, went to high school here. We drove to Atlanta to see concerts. I always use the example that Birmingham got U2 and Nashville didn't. But that's flipped. You know, Nashville has the venues that you need. It had from clubs up to stadiums. It has the infrastructure. But the fans coming out, the fans buying the tickets, that's what brings us more events. That's why we are a world-class destination for music, sports, and entertainment.
Now, you know I'm a big wrestling guy. I was at Monday Night Raw this past week.
That was huge.
It was awesome. Was it sold out?
All but. I mean, yeah. Wrestling is, or WWE specifically, is really on an uptick. We had over 12,000 fans in the building for that. And it's great to see the kind of, I don't know if renaissance is the right word, but the momentum and the crescendo that they are on. And, you know, they've been part of our calendar twice a year, every year since the building opened.
Yeah, and it seems like you said, twice a year. But it also seems like that they love coming to Nashville in the important times of the year, whether it's the road to WrestleMania like they're on now or around SummerSlam, something like that. That seems to be a good thing for Nashville, that they get those primetime events at good times of the year.
Yeah, they have a season just like everybody else, like you said, building towards their big events. So the storylines are going to be different. The events are going to be different. There's going to be more tension or excitement in the air, and we're grateful to be part of that.
David, what happens? What was 2 years ago when Morgan Wallen did those three acoustic shows at Bridgestone, and that was like announced like what? You had like no time, like a couple of weeks out, right?
Yeah, I was actually at a conference. I want to say it was like a Wednesday, and his agent called and said, hey, I've got a crazy idea. And I said, we love crazy ideas. Let's see what we can do. And like we talked about date availability, it just all happened to line up that his record release album date was coming. We had a couple of dates available, and we ran it all together. But again, it comes back to the fans responding to amazing events and our crew being able to handle anything that's thrown their way for being the best in the business.
Is there one show that you couldn't come here that still bugs you?
I've got a short list of people who have never played the arena. You know, 12 years ago when I kind of sat in the booking chair, that list was a lot longer.
Right.
You know, Dave Matthews Band had never played. Pearl Jam had never played. The Who hadn't played Nashville since the 70s. All those kind of things. So we're checking those things off. But, yeah, there's still several that are out there. I mean, Radiohead doesn't tour very much. They haven't played the arena. And there's some others out there, too.
David Kells is with us. The Polestar Arena of the Year Award, once again, Bridgestone Arena has been nominated for this, and Bridgestone has won it, you know, multiple times. You've been named Executive of the Year a couple times as well. How special are those things for the arena and being able to tout, hey, we have been recognized in such the highest honor?
It's exactly what you said. I think it does. It's great recognition for the effort that we put in every day. You know, over 160 events coming through the doors of all of our facilities. And it's nice to be recognized by our peers. This is voted on by, you know, agents, managers, promoters, the people who know what they're talking about, the people who work in buildings all across the world. And for them to say, my gosh, this year Bridgestone Arena and everybody did a great job. We need to have them at the top of the list. It means a lot.
The 2025 SEC Men's Tournament is going to be at Bridgestone Arena, of course, once again in March. And I got a feeling, David, that this might be the toughest SEC tournament ticket really in the last few years because of how stacked the SEC is this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And that's the conversations we're having right now as well. With the additional session, because there's more schools this year, I mean, we start Wednesday at, I think doors open at 10 o'clock or 10:30, and we run all the way through Sunday. So it's a lot of people coming through the doors. It's a lot of fun. It's an excitement. It's, you know, people cheering on their schools and their favorite colors. And, yeah, the competition should be top-notch.
David, always appreciate the time. Yep. We love having these conversations with you of how all this comes to be, and look forward to seeing you down the road.
Thank you much. I have to put out a couple more shout-outs. We got a double with Billy Strings coming up at the end of the month. Like I said, the two Cody Johnson shows this weekend and Toby Mac on Sunday, so come on down.
Woo! Yes, absolutely. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
David Kells, the chief venues officer of the Bridgestone Arena and F&M Bank Arena, the Predators. Always, it's funny. I'll run into him at events and be like, "Well, we got coming up that, you know, hadn't been announced or something like that."
Oh, so. He's such a good dude. We should have asked him if he's ever been tossed out of a bar.
You just want to know.
You ever been tossed out of a bar?
Go get Dagwood. Like, maybe Dagwood's got some.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Stories.
I tell David all the time.
Woody and Jim, you know they have.
Oh, absolutely. I tell Dave, I was like, I think you have one of the most chaotic, one of the most best jobs on the planet.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
See, what's funny is he talks about this like fancy computer program or whatever they got. I just pictured he had this giant dry erase board.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, just up on a ladder, like, okay, let's see. WWE will be on this date, and Billy Joel on this
chaotic,
date.
Chaotic, man.
Yeah, I mean, but it's rewarding because, you know, Bridgestone Arena is going to have a lot of events coming through for sure. We'll have Chris Sanders coming up at 10 o'clock, but continue the conversation. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe on this Friday, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 1025, 1063, The Game. Yeah, a little Whitesnake bringing us back. Let's go. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game on this Valentine's Day, this Friday. Joe's unofficial question of the day has been, have you ever been thrown out of a bar? And we found somebody within our building, Jim from Woody and Jim on Totally Hits 93.3 FM. You have been thrown out of a bar?
I have. As a group, tossed out. And I fully participated. It wasn't like it was just like an innocent bystander. My now brother-in-law, he was having like a pub crawl for his bachelor party.
Okay.
And so we were going from bar to bar. And we went into this one place, and there was this, you know, lovely singer-songwriter lady who was, you know, she's like doing poetry between songs, and then she's, you know, just doing like Puff the Magic Dragon and all these just like really sweet things. And we're in the back, and I'm one of them going, Clay Freeburg! Clay Freeburg! I mean, and we were relentless. And like, I think maybe she knew like one song that we were just yelling at because we were trying to find the things that were so opposite of what she was doing. And yeah, at some point, they just tapped us on the shoulder, some guy about 8 feet tall, and just said, "You guys need to move along. Get out."
And did you argue with him?
No. We're like, going to another place anyway.
Yeah, like this.
Yeah, we deserve it.
What city are we in?
This was in Troy, New York, which is a very old, depreciated city.
Oh.
And yeah, so I was, yeah, they were too good for me.
But I think all yelled, "Do you know Freebird?" Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a classic thing.
Yeah. But it was really, it was this situation. Wrong place to do it.
So I wanted you tossed down like on your head and like bounce down the sidewalk.
You know, I probably wouldn't have felt it that night. Yeah. We were having a good time.
Those are always the best. What's funny is I my buddy and I yelled Freebird at a band one time, and they go, "Reverb, we have enough reverb."
Ah!
Oh, they got you, buddy.
They've been around the block.
Oh, yeah.
They've done it.
Yeah. Well, that's a fantastic story.
I'm glad your neck didn't get broken by the 8-foot guy.
Yeah.
But am I really, though? Kind of not. I'd like to have seen you thrown against the wall.
Yeah, you'd like to see me coming into this room as like Stephen Hawking, going,
"The reason I'm like this is because I yelled Freebird."
Oh my god!
All right, I got to run over. I'm on the air on the other station.
Yeah, no, yeah, you got work to do.
Okay,
yeah. Totally hits.
But it was fun.
Nashville. Yeah, thank you as always,
guys. You guys always have a good time,
yes.
And you know how to do Fridays right, the right way.
We try.
We try.
Play
Freebird. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Totally Hits, Totally Nashville, 93.3 FM, Woody and Jim. Love that 5 show. To 10 a.m. every morning. Every
now, you played morning. Gender Wars the other day with them, and you lost.
I lost, yeah.
And to Lisa. You lost on the Twilight
Well, it was Gina, who's on Woody and Jim, named the author and gave me multiple choice. Which book did she write? And I forgot which one, I guess.
Oh, I wouldn't have got that either.
Yeah, I had no idea. So that was the only one. I knew what channel The View was on.
You did. And you knew what they do at Claire's.
Yeah, earrings.
Yeah. So you did pretty well.
So they asked me, like, how did you know about Claire's? And I said, well, because I've had a couple of guy friends that went there and got their ears pierced.
Yeah. Right.
Like when it was cool to have an earring.
Yeah. My daughter went there. I mean, we've all known about that, Claire's.
Yeah.
But proud of you. But you knew what channel The View was on. That's a great question, too, man, as well. But I want the one where you were launched out of, like, when I got punched, I like that. That's how you get thrown out of a bar, because you're fighting back with a bartender.
Yeah. Now, we all know that I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Correct.
But, like, there have been a couple of times, like, we were out, it was my 30th birthday. We were at a place downtown, and it was a big group of us, you know, celebrating my birthday. We knew the band and all this stuff. And there was this dude he'd gone in there a lot and would always get way too drunk and like want to pick a fight. And so he was hitting on one of our friends, and she kind of gave me and Rick the look of like, hey, can you save me? Can you kind of move in? Like, I'm not interested in this guy.
Yeah.
So I did the, I kind of slid in, put my arm around her. I'm like, hey, what's up? And she's like, hey, you know, trying to get him to go away. And he looks at me and goes, you're a little B-word.
Yes.
And I had had a few at that point. And so I kind of stand up because sometimes I want to use my size and say, like, you really want to do that, even though I'm not going to do anything to you. But, you know, it's the illusion. Well, next thing I know, I got three or four of my dude friends that have now, like, you know, gotten around me like, you really don't want to do this. And he's like bowing up, ready to go. And next thing I know, the guy that was singing comes off the stage, is like, get out of here. Like, throws him
off the stage.
Yeah.
Oh, so, man. I will tell you, if you get in that instance again, if you get to their neck quickly, you got them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in football, you're taught, if you're an offensive lineman, to get the shoulder pads, not outside the arms, but inside the shoulder. You got get to the neck.
Well, there was one. There was one time at football practice, like, I got a guy right by his pads, but like right there. So it's like, yeah,
get him. Once you got him by the neck, there's nothing he could do, and they just drive him backwards. So they got you get somebody gets you by the neck, driving you backwards, you have no control. Trust me on this one. Trust me. And you launch him against the door or the wall.
Have you read Ricky's text to us yet?
Oh, I have not.
He said I can read this, so I'm gonna read it.
Okay, read it.
True story. I'm going to say a former Titans player. I'm going to say who it is in a second. Was at Graham's one night. I was in his area enjoying drinks and talking to girls. He had a gun on him, and so they kicked us all out even though I wasn't with him. Pac-Man Jones.
Oh my gosh.
Graham, of course, was on 2nd Avenue. It was the George Jones. I think it's Sport and Social, the DraftKings place now.
Yeah.
But Graham was, you know, a hot place back in the day. That's hilarious. Pac-Man.
100%.
I mean, not hilarious that he had a gun on him, but like,
I 100% Pac-Man. Believe that.
Oh, yeah. So do I. It's Pac-Man.
Yeah. Oh, Ricky's eating his food, drinking his beer.
talking to females.
That's the best part about that, too, man. I would do that. Oh.
So Al's obsessed with that. I said that I went to the Spice Girls concert on our text line, delivered by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Come clean, Chase. Weren't you also thrown out of the Spice Girls concert for bad dancing?
That's okay, though, if you can do that.
No. Ray has been thrown out of a bar. Ray, what's up?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good.
So way back in my younger days of college and, maybe having a few too many drinks here and there, Oswego, New York, at a bar, and I had a crush on this girl, and we're all playing pool, and she's looking up at the, they had some mirrors with, like, different bands and different things on it, and she mentioned, I really like that mirror, and I'm sitting there, and, look at it, and I go, you like that mirror right there? She's like, yeah. I go, oh, okay. So a few minutes later, I go out to my friend's car. I come back in with a screwdriver, and I start unscrewing the mirror from the wall. And the bouncer just walks up to me, and he's like, what are you doing? I said, oh, man, she likes this mirror, so I'm just going to take it off the wall for her. Well, yeah, that didn't go over too well, and he took me to the front door, and Oswego, New York is in way upstate New York on Lake Ontario. So, you know, in the winter, you know, 10 feet of snow is like nothing up there. So takes me to the front door and throws me head first into a snowbank outside the door.
Yes. What about your screwdriver?
You know, I don't know where the screwdriver ended up. I think I dropped it when he grabbed me and started dragging me out of the bar.
That's but, great.
Needless to say, she didn't get her mirror.
No, no, I would say not.
Oh, that's thanks, fantastic, man.
Thanks for the call, Ray.
Yeah, man, you guys have a good one.
Thank you. Too. That's classic for sure.
Complete launch out of the bar, man. That's how you get thrown out of a bar.
They
that's
threw me into public. such a classic. Coming up next, we'll talk to Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, get his thoughts on maybe some Steve McNair stories in honor of his birthday. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.